Good morning, everybody. Wow, it's great to see you again. It's 2 weeks since we saw you, isn't it? Oh, wow, it's really... Oh, am I not on? I'm not muted. Hello, hello. Good morning, everyone. Lovely to be in a warm, dry church on a wet, miserable day, isn't it? Yes, it is. So most of the intimations are on the back of the service. Next Sunday will be our Holy Communion service at 11 o'clock here in the church and at 3 o'clock in Bank Hall. And anybody's welcome to come to Bank Hall at 3 o'clock. In fact, it would be lovely if we had one or two other singers coming along to just boost the singing sometimes. Monday, tomorrow evening, the Guild are meeting and Robert Nimmo is giving a talk on his Ireland walk. And I've heard that he gives fantastic talks on his walks, so do try and go to that. Wednesday morning, the church shop starts taking in goods. So I don't know if I'm the only person that's got a big cardboard box in the hall that I'm throwing things into. All I've got to do is remember to bring it down to the church. And Wednesday evening, we have our Kirk Session meeting at 7 o'clock in the evening. I think all the other intimations are as printed. Just wanted to highlight the World Mission magazine. The new one has just come in. Mustard Seed Stories, which is very relevant because we have a mention of mustard seeds in our service today. And the centre page spread is a very local one, a Carluke one. We've got Reverend Elijah Obinna talking to Anne Jackson. So a really interesting article there. And Anne Jackson's written a fantastic book, which I have a copy of. If anybody ever wants to borrow it, do let me know. But these World Mission magazines are at the back, they're free, and they're full of really interesting stories. So do help yourself to one as you're going out. A little bird told me that somebody in church has a birthday. Two people in church have a birthday, right? I know the name of one of them. Ross is going to be 13. Wow. And Natasha is 22. Wowee. Could we please sing Happy Birthday, Audrey? A very, very happy birthday to both of you. So we are here to worship God. God who is love. God who loved us so that we can love others. We couldn't love other people if he hadn't first loved us. And his love is a perfect love which drives out fear. And I'm now adding on the little bit that I got from Father Vincent Pizzuto. And God sees us all as gorgeous, every one of us. So let's turn now to our psalm for today. The first four verses of Psalm 37, in particular, especially for birthdays, I think read verse 4 when we come to it. Do not fret because of those who are evil, or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Isn't that wonderful? If we delight in the Lord, he will give us the desires of our heart. So our first hymn to get us off to a rousing start is hymn 213, Sing to Bennessen Every New Morning, hymn 213. So it's lovely to see you back. Oh, 2 weeks is a long time. Will I have remembered your names? Ooh. Andrew?
Yes.
Lewis? Harris? Oh, I usually get you two mixed up, don't I? Rowan? Laurel? Noah? Noah, oh, I got it right. Kyle?
Yes.
Jack? Ross, the birthday boy, Callan, Ewan, this is
Aaron.
Oh, failed. Do I get a black mark? Sorry, Aaron. That's why I couldn't, because you're Ewan. So we've got two Ewans and an Aaron. And then we've got a Katie, and we've got a Jennifer. And Rory hiding up the back. Yeah. Oh, literally hiding. So, can you remember what you were doing 2 weeks ago? What happened at Jigsaw? Yes.
You were petting animals.
You were petting animals, yeah. So was it nice cuddly rabbits?
No.
Was it?
Snakes?
And a skunk.
And a meerkat.
A meerkat. Wow, and
also holding a blue-tongued lizard.
And holding a blue-tongued lizard. Do we believe them? I think we've got evidence. Shall we have a look at some pictures and you can remind me what you were touching? That sounds like the most amazing day. Wow, there you all are. So what are you touching there in the circle? Can you remember? Is that the meerkat? Oh, I would love to touch a real meerkat. Oh, they're lovely. And is there more pictures or is, yeah? Oh! That's the lizard with the blue tongue. Wow, I think I would be going like that as well. Leaning back a wee bit. Goodness me.
Oh.
The skunk. Look at the side. Is that you holding that huge snake?
Yeah, I'm holding
you. The snake's as big as you.
And I'm holding a skunk.
You holding a skunk? So you are. Wowee. And what's the funny thing on the floor? Snake. It's a really big. I thought it was just going to be a little wee grass snake or something, but it's a huge snake. Oh, oh. Oh my goodness. I think Jigsaw are a lot braver than most of us. What an amazing experience. Because of course all these creatures are part of God's creation. Oh, we've got more. Here's the skunk again. Oh. Sorry, am I blocking the view for some of you over there? Wowee. Were you actually cuddling a skunk, Laurel? I hope it didn't let off its horrible smell, did it? That would have been really nasty. But it was a very well-behaved skunk. Oh, what have we got now? Terrapins, is it?
Millipedes,
sorry. I'm going deaf, I think.
Oh,
yeah. Does he? So it's not really a pet to keep in the house. Oh, and what's that funny looking? It's an elephant's baby cousin. I didn't know that elephants had baby cousins.
It's actually a tetrix.
A tetrix. I never realised we were going to have a biology lesson. Oh, look at Callum's moustache. It's actually the millipede and he put it on his face. Oh, goodness me. And we've got more yet, have we? Here's the skunk again. And what's that that you're holding? Oh, right. Okay, the elephant's baby cousin. Wowee. Is there more? I don't know how many pictures. Is that it? Wow. Well, thank you very, very much. And I'm sure you said thank you to Callum at the time, but I think we should ask Christine to thank him so much, because it's really been wonderful for us to all see the pictures as well. I'm not sure that I would have liked to handle a snake that big, but... So that was 2 weeks ago, 13 years ago, Ross was born. That's a longer time than 2 weeks, isn't it? 22 years ago, Natasha was born. Something else happened 22 years ago. David recently gave us a letter, saying that having served as our church officer for 22 years, he's going to retire at the end of the year. We'll all miss you. We don't know how we're going to get a replacement, but that's the next job on the list. But I think let's have a round of applause for David. So 2 weeks is a long time. 13 years is a longer time. 22 years is an even longer time. How long do you think is 2 weeks and 51 years?
Very, very long.
Very, very long. I actually did a wee bit of arithmetic. It's 2,653 weeks. That's very, very long. And do you know there's somebody sitting not very far from here who has played our church organ at least 2,653 times? Audrey, we are here to congratulate you and to celebrate. Just amazing that 2 weeks ago today celebrated 51 years of you being church organist here. So we wanted to make a little bit of a special occasion for you. I wonder if one of the children would like to come out and present Audrey with a certificate. Yes, Rowan, I think you were first to have your hand up. In fact, would you like to come forward, please? Because that is so much longer than you've been alive, isn't it? You're looking very smart, ready for the football. So, would you like to present that to Audrey, please?
Thank you very much.
Wonderful. Let's have a big round of applause. And if you'd just like to stay there for a moment, I think maybe one of the other children could come and give something else. Maybe one of the girls. Laurel, would you like to come and help me? I've got something hidden under here. Come around here. Okay. Now you go and get these to Audrey. Okay. And we say thank you very, very much, Audrey, from all of our church.
Thank you
so, so much.
There's more.
And Jean is going to come and say a few words. You can either stay here or you can go and hide at the organ away, whichever you'd wish.
Maybe you better sit down, Audrey. When I was asked to do this, actually, the way I work things like that, you've got to know somebody. So we don't know Audrey very much. She's a very private person, according to me. But she's hit my life so many times through the time I've known her. And the first time was, I should maybe start at the beginning. When I was a wee lassie, I wanted to be a pianist. Oh, I wanted to play a piano. And we never got a piano. Anyway, when I got married and I had my daughter, I'm saying, she'll have to play the piano. So we got a second-hand piano. And we'll not go into all the things about the piano, but somebody told me that Charlie Dunn would help Sheena with lessons. Now, to let them ken that doesn't ken, Charlie Dunn was Audrey's grandpa. So Charlie came up regularly, and I had a wee shot as well, poor Charlie, but anyway. He said to us one day, he says, I really think you should get Audrey to take Sheena on. Okay, we said to Audrey, and Audrey duly arrived. And Sheena, Charlie, I should add, gave Sheena wee tunes, so she was quite interested. But when Audrey came on the scene, it was scales. And Sheena didn't like the scales. Anyway, I kept on saying, have you done your music? Yes, so she had. I even had the book sitting in a certain way, and she said, yes, I've done it, and I knew she hadn't, because the books hadn't been moved. Anyway, one day, I remember it so well, one evening, I was ironing in the back kitchen, the basket of ironing, Sheena was up the stair, and I hears her rumbling down the stair, and she ran into the kitchen, she flung something into the basket, and out the door. And I thought, what on earth is that? So I lifted a bit of paper and it says, dear mum, I don't want to take piano lessons. Love, Sheena. So, of course, when Audrey came, I had to tell her, and that was the end of my music lessons as well. Anyway, Audrey, there was times we met away up at the Falls of Lorne. Jimmy and I were up north, and we were sitting in a hotel. I don't know whether we were at a meal or just sitting listening to the entertainment. But I'm saying to him, that's like Andy Stewart out there. And it was. It was Andy and Isa and Audrey and Stewart that we had a night with him then. And your dad used to bring all the news up for the Gazette. And we had many a long blather. So there's how my life has been in with Audrey's, but This is different altogether. This is where I'm going to feed. So it's for Audrey. And bear with me, because I'm not a professional by any means, and I'm shaking here like anything, but it doesn't matter. To say a few words for Audrey was the quest that Margaret made, to remember her time with us before memories start to fade. The story starts back in 68. Mary McKendrick had resigned her post as organist for the local church. Oh dear, what's to do? But all is not lost. As pianist for the Sunday school, she had magic in her fingers. Mr. Hill offered her the job. The rest is history, but memories linger. For 50 years, she's carried out her duties for the church's highs and lows, playing for weddings and for funerals, even puts dancing in some folks' toes. 8 ministers she's catered for. That must be quite a feat. In fact, it may also be a record and really hard to beat. She's been with us a long time, more than 50, I've been told. The tunes she's played so perfectly, more like silver, no, more like gold. She's been more than an organist to the congregation through her life. She's also taken on the roles of mother and of wife. Stuart too should get a mention. He's been there, that's true, taking on his elder's duties and always present in the back pew. Oh dear, I'm stuck here. At Christmas time with Carol's suite, Audrey plays without a hitch. It's the singing, though, that gets her down. It's sometimes out of pitch. After meeting at the Cenotaph, went then marching down the street, in November the band joins the service, and with the organ, the music's a treat. Prize givens, too, are catered for, with music fitting the event. Audrey never misses out a note. How long she's practiced, how long she's spent. The notes all seem to know where they should be, but it's Audrey who delivers them, too much for the likes of me. It's in appreciation, these words are noted here, of the joy she has given us and of her work throughout the years. 8 ministers have been mentioned. Their terms were short and long, but Audrey has been steadfast. So, if music is the food of love, play on.
Thank you very much,
Audrey.
Thank you very much.
I've only had 3 of those years. So, giving Audrey a moment or two to draw breath. I know it's normally sung as a Christmas hymn, but I thought, what better to sing now than Come and Join the Celebration? It's hymn 321 in the hymn books.
Come and join the celebration. It's our next special day.
Thank you so much. It seems slightly wrong to ask you to play for your celebration, but I didn't have anybody else to ask. But thank you so much. I'm now delighted to invite Robert forward to lead us in prayer.
Let us come before the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Holy, loving, faithful, compassionate God, you are eternal, you're almighty, you're righteous, you are just. Through the power of your word, you created the world and all that is in it, and in your wisdom and power, you rule and direct all events. You're beyond anything we can conceive, anything we can imagine. Your ways and your thoughts are so much higher than ours. And yet, for all that, you, the creator of the world, invite us to come to you and to discover the depths of your love for us. And we come. We come here this morning, reluctantly, some of us, uncertainly, others of us. But we all come in response to that invitation to meet you, that invitation to learn from you, that invitation to worship you. Lord, we thank you that as we gather here in your presence, your holy purity does not consume us. And we acknowledge that even as we come together, even as we sit here, there is so much that is wrong in each one of us. Wrong attitudes, wrong thoughts, wrong words, wrong deeds. We have hurt others, and we have not been worthy of being your children. We thank you, though, for your mercy, that mercy given to us in the gift of your Son, Jesus. We thank you for his blameless life. We thank you for his love. We thank you for his willingness to go to the cross. And we thank you that he took upon himself the sin of the world. We thank you that through him we can know forgiveness and reconciliation with you and with each other. And we thank you that through him we can have life eternal in your presence. Send your Holy Spirit this day to help us offer our worship in spirit and in truth. Open our eyes to see your Son in the words we hear and speak and sing. Change us, challenge us, encourage us, and equip us to be your followers in this place and in the world outside. All this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Robert. And I now invite Laura to come and read from the Bible for us. We're continuing with Paul's letters to the young pastor, Timothy. We're into the second one now and the first 14 verses of it. And then continuing in Luke's Gospel, today we have Luke 17, verses 5 to 10.
Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, in keeping the promise of life that is in Jesus Christ. To Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve as my ancestors did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers, recalling your tears. I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice. I am persuaded now lives in you. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying of my hands. For the Spirit gave us The Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Saviour Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and brought life to immortality, and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel I was appointed a herald, an apostle, and a teacher. That is why I am suffering as I am. Yet this is no cause for shame, because I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until the day. What you heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching, with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good and deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Gospel reading. The apostle said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." He replied, "If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it will obey you. Suppose one of you has a servant ploughing or looking after the sheep. He will say to the servant when he comes in from the field, 'Come along now and sit down to eat.' Won't he rather say, 'Prepare my supper, get yourself ready and wait on me while I eat and drink. After that, you may eat and drink.' Will he thank the servant because he did what he was told to do? So you also, when you have done everything you were told, should say, 'We are unworthy servants, we have only done our duty.'" Amen, and may God add his blessings to the reading of his holy word.
Thank you, Laura. Our hymn before the sermon is hymn 608, "Spirit of Truth and Grace." Another wee pointer towards Carluc. I spent the day there yesterday. Maybe that's why it's featuring in today's service. This hymn was written by Ian Cunningham, the minister of Kirkton Church. Let us pray. Lord, may the questions on our lips and the wonderings of our hearts lead us to a deeper trust in you, our maker, mender, and muse. Amen. Faith. Increase our faith, the disciples asked Jesus. And I know that I have often prayed asking for my faith to be increased. But the first part of Jesus' reply is to explain that even a tiny bit of faith, as tiny as a mustard seed, is very powerful. So we shouldn't worry about having only a little bit of faith, nor should we compare ourselves with others who seem to have far greater faith. Instead, we need to make sure that our faith, however small, is alive, like a seed, capable of growing. Tom Wright said this: "We don't need a great faith, we need faith in a great God." Faith is alive when it's being used, especially when it's nurturing faith in others. Faith is what allows us to tap into God's power, the power of love. I'll give you a wee example. When I go to visit someone, usually it's because they're unwell, bereaved, or experiencing some sort of difficulties. And frequently I have no idea what I'll be faced with. So there's no way to plan for these visits. Yet to prepare for them, I spend time in prayer because I know that I'm completely unable to find the right words, the right gestures or attitude on my own. It's my faith that helps me to know that Christ is ahead of me. And if I will simply be open to the presence of the Spirit, God's powerful love will minister to the person I'm visiting through me. He makes me a channel of his peace. I'll admit, the first few times in my training and then in ministry were really nerve-wracking. It's going out on a limb. And sometimes it still can be. But slowly, over the years of trusting God and always finding him faithful to me, my faith is little by little becoming more alive. And yet I still know that I am and always will be still an unworthy servant of the Lord. And yet Jesus calls us friends. You see, there is absolutely nothing that any of us can do or say or think that will make God love us any more. And there is absolutely nothing that we can do or say or think that will make God love us any less. Why? Because God is God. He is before all and in all and through all. He is the creator, redeemer, sustainer of the whole universe. He is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, King of kings and Lord of lords. So it's pretty obvious that we, mere humans, cannot make God do anything. Paul wrote this: God has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. So we are created, called, and given the gift of faith for a purpose, to share in God's work in this world. The pictures that we saw of that wide variety of creatures that the children met 2 weeks ago shows again the rich variety of God's creation, and every one of these creatures has its place in the world, and every one of us has our place and our purpose. And when we find where that is, it's a joy and a privilege when we're able to use our faith, share our faith. But of course, it's always easier to talk about it than to actually do it. I've told you the story before about the man walking the tightrope over the Niagara Falls. The crowds are completely have faith that he can walk there and back. And then he gets a wheelbarrow, and they completely have faith that he'll push the wheelbarrow backwards and forwards across this tightrope. And then he says, "And who's going to sit in the wheelbarrow?" There was an African village which had been experiencing a terrible drought. So all the villagers decided to meet and have a mass prayer meeting to pray for rain. But there was only one wee boy who thought to take an umbrella. He had faith. Paul's second letter to that young minister, Timothy, begins with a focus on prayer. He then goes on to remember both Timothy's tears and his sincere faith, which had been passed down through the generations. And Paul emphasizes the living nature of this faith. "I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also." I love being part of a church where parents and grandparents are encouraging their children to learn about our faith. And the best way they can learn is from us, from our lives. We have to make sure that our faith is alive. And to do that, we have to use it. It's a bit like a muscle. If you never use it, it wastes away. Paul reminds Timothy to fan into flame the gift of God. There was a remarkable young American theology student called Matt Canlis, who many years ago now was walking along the beach at St. Andrews, wondering what direction his life was going. He came across the remains of a bonfire and aimlessly kicked it as he passed. Something caused him to look back as he walked on, and he saw that the combination of his kick and that gentle breeze that St. Andrews is famous for had literally fanned into flame that wee pile of half-burnt sticks. Now, Matt is a very spiritual man, always open to seeing and hearing God in all things. And he described how that experience convinced him that God was calling him to serve as a Church of Scotland minister in a small country parish where he could learn how to fan into flames the faith of the congregation and the community. So what do we need here in Forth to fan into flames our faith? I went for a walk on Monday around the wind farm up at Climpie, and thankful to directions from Agnes, I finally found the Covenanters Memorial. Got one or two pictures. Can you spot it? Do you all know where it is? It's difficult to see, but it is just down that track. I've got closer up pictures. I spent some time there, out in the open, enjoying the sun and the wind, and trying to imagine what it must have been like for the Reverend Richard Cameron, the Reverend Donald Cargill, and the Reverend James Rennick, and all their followers. They had no church building, no heating, no pews, no security. All these three ministers and many others preached in isolated places between 1679 and 1688, and they were hunted down and killed, murdered, becoming martyrs for the faith. So we have a tremendous heritage of faith in this area. And I wonder, can we find a way to fan it into flame again? Life as a minister in Scotland is relatively safe these days, but sadly not so in other parts of the world. Just last week, the senior pastor of a church in Iowa was murdered outside his own church. I've got a couple of quotes, well, three, and a picture to try and think a bit more about faith. I like this one from Cliff Richard. The more we depend on God, the more dependable we find he is. That's fanning our faith into flames. And then I've got an image which I've shown before. I think too often the church has taught the faith in Christ version, which is not wrong, but if you look, it depends on me, on my belief, on my faith, on me worrying whether I get it right or not. The one on the right, I think, is more what I am learning. That it's when I give up and say, I can't do this, God. Trust, have faith that his hands are there ready to catch me. He's got me. And from that position, then go out and do. So it's not that we just lie there and do nothing, wait for God to do everything. But we start from trusting in him. Another quote from A.B. Simpson. All that God requires of us is an opportunity to show what he can do. It's not about us. And then the last one, I was delighted to find a quote on this because it's an image that I've often come back to try and understand faith. Alan Watts said this, to have faith is to trust yourself to the water. When you swim, you don't grab hold of the water because if you do, you'll sink and drown. Instead, you relax and float. I never managed to master swimming when I was a child, and then when I had children of my own and they were learning to swim, I decided to go back to adult improvers classes. And one of the first things that they taught me was how to float. And it's really frightening because you've got to relax and trust that the water will hold you up. And that to me is such an image of faith. That we trust God, that we know in our heart of hearts that he's going to hold us up. And like me learning to float, I probably only managed to float for a second the first time, and then a wee bit longer the next time. It's when we start using our faith, that's when it grows. And that's when we realize that we have the power of God within us. We, each one of us, can do our bit to change the world. That's faith. Amen. Let's continue our worship now with the giving of our offerings. Thank you. 51 years and 2 weeks and your fingers still bring magic. Thank you, Audrey. Let us pray. I'm going to use the prayer that we've just been given because it's just so beautiful. God of creation, you have blessed us with the changing of the seasons. As we welcome the autumn months, may the earlier setting of the sun remind us to take time to rest. May the brilliant colors of the leaves remind us of the wonder of your creation. May the steam of our breath in the cool air remind us you gave us the breath of life. May the harvest from the fields remind us of the abundance we have been given and bounty we are to share with others. May the dying of summer's spirit remind us of your great promise that death is temporary and life is eternal. We praise you for your goodness and love forever and ask you to receive these our gifts and offerings, along with our worship, our prayers, and our everyday lives, and use them all for the growth of your kingdom, hereinforth and throughout the world. Amen. Now thank we all our God, hymn 182. My alarm just went off, so let us say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever. Amen. During the meeting yesterday in Carluk, there was a video shared which I found very moving, so I was able to get a copy of it, and as the beginning of our prayers of intercession, we're now going to watch this video clip, and I'll read the words that come up on the screen for the benefit of those who can't read the screen and for the recording. The pencil maker told the pencil 5 important lessons just before putting it in the box. Everything you do will always leave a mark. You can always correct the mistakes you make. What is important is what is inside you. In life, you will undergo painful sharpenings, which will only make you better. To be the best pencil, you must allow yourself to be held and guided by the hand that holds you. To be constantly sharpened. This parable may encourage us to know that we are special people with unique God-given talents and abilities. Only we can fulfill the purpose which we were born to accomplish. Never allow ourselves to get discouraged and think that our life is insignificant. Like the pencil, always remember that the most important part of who we are is what's inside. And then allow ourselves to be guided by the hand of God. Let us pray. Loving, living God, Help us to remember that, like pencils, we are never insignificant. The most important part of us is what is inside. And that all we have to do is be who we are and allow your hand to hold and guide us. Lord, you gave us the gift of prayer. And so now, in a time of silence, let us lift up to you all those people and situations, all those different pencils who we know about and care about. And we hand them over into your hands. Lord, we thank you that you always hear our prayers. And we thank you again for the examples we have in our congregation of people who really use their faith and their gifts. David, serving faithfully for 22 years as our beadle. And Audrey, using her musical gifts in such a powerful way to serve this church for 51 years and 2 weeks. Lord, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Reminding ourselves of that quote from Tom Wright, that we don't need a great faith, but we need faith in a great God. So let's close our service by singing 153, Great is Thy Faithfulness, hymn 153. And after that, we're having a meeting of our little worship team to continue our preparations for harvest.
Thank you.
for the first Sunday of a new month. So after the benediction, we will be singing hymn 822. The words will be on the screen. Amen, amen, alleluia, amen. And the flower box is available for donations. I forgot that at the beginning of the service. So now, as we go out into the week ahead, let us cherish that tiny seed of faith which God has given each and every one of us. And may we try to help it live and grow. And may the faith of this community turn from a smouldering ember to a burning flame. And may the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with us all today and forevermore.